Yeah, but... Oh, that doesn't apply today. You know, that has a whole new meaning now. Okay, I know what it says, but here's what it means. These are reactions expressed by people who don't agree with something, but instead of changing their understanding or admit that an opposing viewpoint can actually exist, they want to change the meaning of an idea and the words that communicate it. There are even people who call themselves devout Christians who clearly state that they look at the Bible and arrive at their interpretation of what the pages contain. That's not what the plan is for obeying God. That plan, by the way, is clearly stated by God in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. God saying, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." A common example of disobedience regarding this comes from the teachers of what is known as the prosperity doctrine. Those are the preachers who interpret the references to blessings in the Bible as you gaining financial wealth, where the only way for that to happen is with you giving them, the preachers, some of your money. They claim in return, God will bless you with an abundance of financial riches because he wants you to be rich with money. Well, that's so they explain why Jesus asks his disciples in Mark chapter 10, verse 23, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" Then in Mark 10, 24, Jesus answers his own question. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I recall seeing men and women over the past several years claiming to be children of God who are also in support of gay marriage. They arrange rallies for their cause, invite the news media with their cameras, hold up their Bible in the air, and declare that God's word instructs us to love all. Which is very true. Jesus taught in John chapter 13, 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." However, the Bible also defines the role of men and women along with marriage very clearly in both the Old and New Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we read, "Then God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Moving into the New Testament, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and each woman have her own husband." So, getting back to the Bible that those supporters of gay marriage I referenced to hold up, does it not have these and other similar verses about marriage? Now, their Bibles must look like those redacted documents you get from the FBI. You know, the ones with entire paragraphs blacked out, and you might see maybe every third adjective. For those who oppose gay marriage, by the way, if you walk in God's word, you are called on to love those who you disagree with. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, we're taught by Jesus, "But I say to you, love your enemies." God has blessed us with free will. We can choose to walk the path that's obedient, or we can choose to walk the path that's disobedient. Even when you choose the latter, and you discover how poor a choice that was, when you cry out for God to rescue you, he will. When you ask for forgiveness, you will receive that as well. That's what the Word of God promises. No interpretation is needed to be applied to understand that. When we turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, "The one whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." As a child of God, you too are to forgive someone who acts against God's word. You're not required to agree with them, but you're called on to love them and show compassion for them. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, we read, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." There's a reason why God wrote the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. It's to remind us for eternity that God's word is in no need of being changed, updated, or reinterpreted. It's to be studied, embraced, and put into living practice for all people and all reasons.